So again, my name is Yohan Lee. I'm from Brazil, as Pastor Jian said already. I have been married to Joanna for 8 years now, and we have two beautiful twin daughters. They are 7 years old now, and we just had a son, so we joined the Byron Center community having a lot of babies. I had my baby about a month ago. His name is Abel. And when we lived in Brazil, we had a pretty stable life with our jobs, with our families, and so on. And we left all that in Brazil to come to Grand Rapids, following God's direction, and study at Calvin Seminary. And I remember well the first days when we got here to the U.S. It was a very, very interesting experience. To give you an idea, we came from Brazil. We didn't prepare very well to come here, which I regret. So we came not very prepared, with not much money, and with not many things prepared beforehand. So as you can see in these two pictures, we are eating over one of our luggages because we didn't have a table to eat on. And we slept on the floor for a few days. So looking back now, I would definitely prepare myself better for an adventure like this. And we got to this apartment where we are still living today. And there was no furniture whatsoever. So again, we slept on the floor and everything. And on the first day, right after arriving, I wanted to have an idea how it feels like to go to the closest grocery store, walking. So there was me walking around Burton Street for 30 minutes to get to the closest grocery store. I went there, bought a few stuffs, and went back home again for 30 minutes. So you can imagine, it took me about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, to finish this very mundane activity. And but now is when things get interesting, because I came back home, and I told Joanna, my wife, you know what? Let's go tomorrow together to the grocery store, walking. We didn't have a car, so let's go together. What a brilliant idea. It's more brilliant because I said, let's take our kids together, our four-year-old kids. Let's go together as a family to the grocery store. And brilliant idea, isn't it? It was so brilliant that after this remarkable experience, every time we went out somewhere, my kids would ask, are we walking? As if we said yes, they would say, nah, we're good. We're just staying home. You guys go. Thanks be to God for the wisdom. We didn't do that anymore after that second time. But I wanted you to feel at least a little bit how it was for us when we first got here. Of course, I should have prepared better. But when I got here, we didn't have much. We didn't know anyone. After a few days, I get to know Jean and Carl Basma. They helped me a lot in the beginning. But when I got here, we didn't have much, and we didn't know anyone here in the U.S. So it was a very interesting experience for us, but I won't say it was good when we were there. When we were living that experience, it was very hard for us. Actually, Joanna and I felt a little discouraged for a few days, and I caught myself even asking sometimes, God, what am I doing here? What am I doing to my family? So I was a little concerned about the well-being of my family. You know, if I was alone, it would be one thing, but I was with my family. So that's a whole another story. Right now, looking back after a few years, everything is fine. Thanks be to God. and we are doing very well. But back then, we felt like we were right on the edge, having to live an uncertain tomorrow. As I said, we didn't have much. We didn't know anyone. And in those cases, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. You are uncertain about the tomorrow, right? But me and you, you and me, Christians, we are sure about one thing. We are sure that even in those situations, we have a God in whom we can put our trust. We are sure that we can trust in God, even in those situations. So the challenge at that time was to trust in God, was to trust that God was still in control of everything, including my family. That was challenging for us at that moment. But in those moments, faith is the only thing that might help us. In those moments where you feel that there's not much you can do about it, in those moments that we must exercise our faith in God. So I want to propose a reflection on such an important topic for us Christians. What is faith? What is faith for? What do we have faith for? And I think we will have to ask, if we would have to ask someone about faith, the person to go to would be Abraham. Since he's known as the father of the faith, right? So who's Abraham? Who's Abraham? After telling us about the multiple and devastating consequences of sin, starting from chapter 3 in Genesis, Genesis 12 presents us with this guy called Abraham. Verses 1 through 3. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So that is when Abraham's journey starts. However, we should pay attention to two small details in Abraham's journey. He was 75 years old at that time when he got this calling from God. And second, he didn't have a child yet. He was already 75 years old, but he didn't have a child yet. And this promise that God gave him would be fulfilled only if Abraham had a son, right? So against the odds, Abraham followed God's order, and he left. He embarked on a journey that was uncertain for him. And back then, leaving your parents' household meant giving up all the things that you would inherit someday. So when God called Abraham, he was telling Abraham, you have to leave everything behind to follow my voice, to follow my calling. So following God's command by leaving his household was already a huge leap of faith, right? And Abraham went through some interesting experiences. He had problems. He had problems with his nephew Lot. He suffered threats from pagan kings. He had conflicts between Sarah and their servant Hagar. And it seemed that things were not happening according to their plan. But not according to their plan, because God was still in control of everything. But I want you to understand how difficult it might have been for Abraham to wait 25 years to have Isaac, the son of the promise. Sometimes me and you, we can't wait a few years, months, or even days to see things we are expecting to happen. Abraham had to wait 25 years, and that is a long time. And after 25 years, he finally had his first child with Sarah. Can you imagine how loved this child was to Abraham and Sarah? They had to wait 25 years. The current stage of my life is to have kids, raise kids, and all that. So, as we talked before, my social circle is like this right now. Having babies, raising babies, not sleeping enough, and everything. Many friends are having babies and whatnot. But among those friends, there are those who are trying but are not succeeding in having babies. I know friends that they are trying for so long right now, for years, and they are not being able to have babies. We have problems. Pastor Jean passed through many things a few years ago. You guys probably remember that. Now he is blessed with Julia. But when we see those people trying for so long to have the first baby, when they finally get the first baby, can you imagine how loved this baby is to them? Now I want you to imagine Abraham had to wait 25 years. 25 long, long years. And that's where we get to today's passage. After waiting for 25 years and having the first baby with Sarah, Isaac, God appeared to him and give him an order. When we see this verse here, we see three imperatives. That means it's a command from God. Abraham didn't have any option. He had to follow God's voice. He had to obey God's voice. He had to do what God was telling him to do. Take your son, your only son whom you love, go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice your son. Sacrifice Isaac. After 25 years waiting for this baby, he finally got the baby. And now he was receiving a command from God to sacrifice this baby. I want you to feel at least a little bit how dramatic this was to Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. We know him as the father of faith, but even for him, this might have been way too much, sacrificing Isaac. So the challenge here too was for Abraham to trust in God, to trust in the Lord. Yes, Lord, I will do whatever you're asking me. And this was a challenge for him because of his love for Isaac. At that moment, trusting in the Lord might have been the hardest thing to do for him. God had finally fulfilled his promise, giving Abraham a son. And now God was asking Abraham to sacrifice him. I like what John Calvin said about this order from God. He said that this order inflicted a wound far more grievous than death itself. Calvin also said that with this order, God was destroying faith. And this makes a lot of sense because God called Abraham, "You are going to be a blessing to the nations through your son." And now God was asking him to kill this son. So God was destroying faith with this command. The Hebrew Bible also emphasizes the heaviness of this test. So the verb to test in verse 1 is in a verbal form called biel that expresses intensity. So a more accurate translation would be something like tested hard. So it seems that God was very serious about testing Abraham, right? And Abraham understood that or not. I don't think he did. I don't think I would. I don't think any of us would understand what God was doing there. Have you ever thought about why Abraham didn't ask God anything? I mean, why God? Does this even make sense at all? Back then, it was a common practice to sacrifice children in some pagan cultures. So it might be the case that Abraham thought, well, this God is one of those gods who asks children's sacrifice. Despite all that, I don't think Abraham understood God's purposes behind that. You are the one who took me out of my hometown, out of my family, to promise me that I would have a son, and through that son, a whole nation would be raised, and that nation would bless the world. What in the world God was trying to do here? What God was trying to do here? I believe God was trying to do one thing with Abraham. He was looking at Abraham and asking him, do you trust me? Do you trust me? One more time, Abraham was tested on whether he was willing to go beyond his limits. He was tested to show whether he really trusted God or not. The first challenge was to leave his land and his household. And now he had the toughest challenge of his life. And you know, sometimes we face the challenge of trusting God like Abraham did. Sometimes, not at the same intensity as Abraham was, but we still do. We are still tested whether we trust in God or not. And trusting God is basically what Christian life is about. You believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that means to trust in what He has done on the cross, right? But that also means trusting in what God says, trusting in what He says to us, right? This whole idea of trusting what God says can make people uncomfortable nowadays. For example, if we take a look at the reality of the world we are living in today, we will see that atheism has become a thing nowadays. Atheism is growing a lot. And I'm sure these people have their reasons not to believe in God. But we cannot deny that there is something about the idea of God that bothers people. And that's the idea of having someone telling you what to do and what and not to do. That bothers people. I don't want anyone telling me what to do and not to do. And believe it or not, like it or not, this is the world we are living in today. People don't want to listen to God anymore. And in a world like this, it could be harder and harder for us to follow God's voice and to trust in God too. It's even harder if what we are hearing doesn't make sense, just like Abraham was listening. Abraham was hearing God's voice and that didn't make sense to him. It's like Noah when God told him to build the ark. People mocked him. People said he was crazy. Noah, you're crazy. What you're doing building this ark? What you're expecting? Or like David when he had the chance to kill the person who wanted to kill him, but he didn't do out of reverence to God. Or like Isaiah when he prophesied, when people didn't listen to him. Isaiah was called by God, and God said, you are going to preach the word to people, and they're not going to listen, but I still want you to go and preach. I'm pretty sure some people would say that to Abraham too, saying that Abraham was crazy. Are you going to sacrifice your child? Are you crazy? And what about commandments like commandments that we receive from Jesus, like if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. Or give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. This is from the Gospels. What about giving your money to the church? What about believing in a carpenter who died humiliated on the cross? People might say we are crazy. People might say we Christians, we are crazy. And they are actually saying that. They are actually saying that. And the challenge for us is to keep trusting God. In a world where atheism, where people don't believe in God anymore, when they are asking people, stop believing in God, the challenge for us is to keep trusting in God's voice, to keep trusting in God. The challenge for us is to say, yes, Lord, I will do it. Not because it makes sense to me, but because you said so. I will trust in your voice because you said so. Now, let me tell you how different Abraham's test was. You know, when someone is tested, either the person passes or fails. There's no middle ground here. Now, the passage we read gives the impression that that's the case for Abraham too. Like, what if he didn't want to sacrifice Isaac? What if Abraham looked to God and said, no, God, I won't sacrifice my child? Would he have failed the test? Have you ever thought about that? If we look at verse 16, for instance, verse 16 says, because you have done this, I will surely bless you. So this means that Abraham would be blessed because he didn't hesitate to offer his son to God as a sacrifice, right? But I want to take you to a few passages before Genesis 22. Starting from the passage we already read in Genesis 12. In that passage, God is giving a promise to Abraham. The very same promise that God was giving in Genesis 22 after Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And then in chapter 15, we see God again reaffirming his promise. You are going to be a blessing. I'm going to raise a nation from you. And through that nation, I will bless all the peoples on the earth. And then we see again in chapter 17. And then we see that again in chapter 18. To finally in chapter 21, verse 1 says, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised, as he had said. As he had said. Was it possible for Abraham to fail the test? Honestly, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because in chapter 22, God was only reaffirming the promise that God had already given to Abraham in chapter 12, in chapter 15, in chapter 17, in chapter 18. God was reaffirming again and again the promise to Abraham to come in chapter 22 and reaffirm once again his promise to Abraham. When God makes a promise to someone, he fulfills his promise. He keeps his promises. There's nothing that could push him back. There's no human action. There's no human decision that could push God back in his promises. And that is why we can trust God. That is why we can trust God. Because different from us, God is consistent. God is trustworthy. God is faithful. And that is precisely what God wanted to show Abraham here. God wanted to show Abraham what kind of God he was. How Abraham could absolutely trust in him no matter what. God wanted to show that despite his cultural and religious context, where sacrificing children could be something common, he was different. God wanted to show Abraham, I am different from the other gods. I am different. You can trust in me. You can trust in me, Abraham. That's what God wanted to show Abraham. He was a different God, a God whom he could trust, a God who cared for him and his family. Now, do you remember the verbal form piao that I mentioned before? The form that adds intensity to the verb? I mentioned that the verb to test in this passage is in this piao form, right? And where English versions say, I will surely bless you, NIV. I will indeed bless you, RSV. That in blessing, I will bless thee, King James Version. The verb to bless here is also in the PL form. So God tested Abraham with intensity, tested hard Abraham. Demanding something he knew would be very, very hard to Abraham to give. But now God is reaffirming his promise also with intensity, saying, I will surely bless you. I will certainly bless you. No matter what. It doesn't matter what you do. We need to understand that. It doesn't matter what you do, Abraham. I will still bless you. God was reaffirming his promise with intensity. I will surely bless you. Now, let me remind you that this God who called Abraham, who tested Abraham, who commanded Abraham, go and sacrifice your child, that same God, that very God, is the God you and me are worshiping this morning. It's the same God we are worshiping this morning. So the same God who said to Abraham, the only thing you need to do is to trust me. That's the only thing you need to do. Trust in me. Trust in my word. He's saying the same thing for me and for you today in this morning. Trust me. Trust in what I say. And trusting in the Lord is something we need to do, especially when we need to do. Let me explain. In the beginning, I asked you a question about faith. What do we have faith for, right? Do you know that tool you have in your basement or garage, like the screwdriver? So you're fixing something at your home, right? You're fixing something. This happened like a lot of times before. You need a screwdriver, and the only thing that will help you fixing the thing you're fixing at that moment is the screwdriver. Nothing else will help you. Nothing else. Faith is like that screwdriver. In very specific moments, faith is the only tool that will help you. It's the only tool that will help you. You might have the tool of wisdom. You might have the tool of richness. You might have the tool of knowledge or experience. But there are times in our lives that the only thing that will help us, the only tool that will help us, is the tool of faith. Those times when we must exercise our faith. Nothing else will help us. but faith in God. As I mentioned before, when we first got here, things were hard for us, difficult. We had nothing and knew nobody, but we had God. And precisely in those moments, we must exercise our faith. Because at the end of the day, no matter how bad things are, He will take care of everything. Abraham was before a huge challenge, offering his son, whom he loved, in sacrifice to God. Should I trust God? Should I trust Him this much? I would say, yes, Abraham. Yes, Abraham, you should, because God Himself, He will provide the lamb. You should trust in God because God Himself, He Himself will provide the lamb. You know, we don't usually call Abraham a prophet. We know him more as a patriarch, as a father of the faith, right? But here, without knowing it, Abraham served us as a prophet. Because he mentioned something that has eternal impact when he said these words, God Himself will provide the lamb. God demanded him to offer his son, his only son. It turns out that God Himself was the one who ended up offering his only son. And because of that, there is nothing to be afraid of. For sure, things can be tough sometimes in our lives. Like Pastor Jean said, life is like a roller coaster, right? Sometimes we're happy. Sometimes we're facing difficult times, challenges in our lives. That email you're waiting to get, the relative who is in the hospital, a health issue that you are struggling with, that boss who is giving you a hard time, the marriage that seems to be falling apart, financial issues, emotional issues, relationship problems, wars, hatred, violence, big and small fights we face every day. What has been your fight? What has been your fight? Let me give you a word of encouragement. Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Let us not be afraid, because God Himself will provide the lamb. And He already did. He did it for us. And that means, again, we can trust in God. How hard it is to forgive. How hard it is to love our enemies. How hard it is to make sacrifices to bless others. How hard it is to be humble and value others above ourselves. These all come from the Word of God. How hard it is to obey those things. These are the things that God asks us to do in His Word. And if we trust Him, if we really trust Him, we trust that living up to that standard is the best thing we can do in our lives. This God, who was faithful enough to give His only Son for loving us, is good enough to take care of us, take care of our business, take care of our families, our health, our world. He is good enough to bless us when we live as faithful disciples of Jesus. Disciples who listen to His voice in obedience. So let us trust Him, because He already provided the Lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross and was resurrected, did all that to prove that, yes, we can trust in what God says. So let us put ourselves with humble hearts before the Lord, and let us trust Him no matter what. It might be scary sometimes, but Jesus proved it. It is worth it. It is worth it to trust in God. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are here before you this morning to celebrate Jesus Christ. Thank you for the life, the joy, and the hope we have in Jesus. Thank you because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And because we have Jesus, because He died for us and was resurrected from the dead, we know we can trust you. Thank you for this grace, and help us through your Holy Spirit that we may remember this in our darkest times, that we may find joy in Jesus in every circumstance we are living in. And may our trust in you inspire others to do the same. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.